to send it.
Welcome to the Backpack Show.
Where we bring you insights about success from unusual places.
And weird intros every single time. I see a half of my mom's sentences here. Good to see you. Really exciting week this week. Wow, did we pull some things out of nowhere? That's because Carrie is back and booking people, and it means we get to find all kinds of cool people. Who do we have today, though?
Today, like in 30 seconds, you mean?
That's right.
Pastor Dwight Buckner Jr. He's a specialist advisor and a friend to Chris Williams on the show Married at First Sight. You're not going to get any spoilers, so don't ask. He's also author and entrepreneur, works with at-risk youth. He's a seventh-generation pastor, I found out. And he's a relationship expert. So we're going to talk about kind of how your relationship can possibly survive this long together in a small space, because we've all been kind of locked down. So that'll be fun. And we're going to talk to mom and entrepreneur Kristen. Oh, I didn't ask her how to pronounce her name. Did you?
I'm going
to
go Vermeulen.
Let's find out. I don't know. Yes. How would I know? You say, am I close? I want to make sure we get it correct the first time we say it. So, and she is the podcast host of Makers of Maine and has her own PR firm.
Nautical. Get it? Knots. So yeah, we have a lot of things we have to cover today, but it's going to
need a bad joke flag.
That's my gamer tag.
Hi everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcoming you to the Backpack Show. Your hosts, Chris Brogan, Kerry Gorgone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
Look who's here.
Hey, it's my biological father, Steve Brogan. Hello, and his wife, Diane Brogan.
Also
hello
to both of you.
Oh, by the way, thanks, parents, for my birthday gift. I just found that when I went in to pay allowances for the chillinses who are out like little peep-peep birds this morning wondering where their dough is. And I see Elizabeth, and I see Chloe.
Thank you. See, Chris thought this looked like pajamas.
I thought it was pajamas, and I was corrected.
Because we don't wear glitter to bed. Who wears glitter to bed?
Well, does anyone see glitter on this? Look.
There's glitter. They're glittery strawberries.
Glittery strawberries.
A link for my top? I'll have to.
What link? You want to buy the top? Okay.
I'll find it.
That's not awkward. But okay.
That's not awkward. They do make this for men, just so you know.
And I'm wearing the matching bottoms.
And they make a dress for women. If you want like a dress. And I'm not getting paid to say that, any of it. Hi, Leslie.
No, because you still have yet to delve far enough into affiliate marketing. But boy, do we have some of that on this show.
I can't.
Can't be bothered. All right. Well,
so I like what I like. It's just like booking the show. I book people I'm genuinely interested in. So when people are like, wow, he's really great conversations. It's like, because I'm interested. I could never do anything because I felt like I had to.
That's right.
And the same goes for clothes and affiliate marketing.
Hi, Carl.
So I couldn't do it. Hi, Carl.
We had... I always have this moment because we never pick which guest goes first until the very last second.
You always pick.
I pick because it's my dictatorship, and you just get to live in it. But it's tough because I've got a pastor and I've got someone who's, all about the Maine. So, I'm from Maine. I want to talk Maine. I mean, it's not like I don't get to talk about both. But it is like, a pastor with, a cool TV show tie-in as well. And seven generations.
He's doing important work with at-risk youth as well.
Yes. And he bears the same last name as famous, for bad reasons, Boston baseball player Billy Buckner, who at the World Series, and I forget what year it was, let a ball go right through his legs. So, I'm not a baseball guy. I just know that one thing because we used to make fun of him at our gym.
But that guy was so happy that even non-baseball fans know that story. He was probably like... Here we go again.
His name in New England, at least, is just Billy Buckner, guy with the ball.
All right. Mud.
Yep. So let's grab Pastor Dwight. Let's just start there because then we got to get going. We got to talk to Kristen. We have so many things. Pastor Dwight Buckner, hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hey, good morning.
William,
good.
What are you asking for? What link, William Smith? So sorry. William Smith has a challenge going on in his world.
Don't worry about him.
All right. So... Carrie found you because of, I guess, your connection with a certain show, a reality show and all that. I want to start there because you're seventh generation pastor. Which generation would have also been willing to be on that show, or does it start with you?
Well, I think it probably would start with me. The generations before that probably wouldn't have wanted to be on the show, but started with me. So I said, I'll take the risk. I'll do it.
Well, because preaching is, you know, wherever two or more are gathered in his name kind of a thing, right? I mean, it's that's the premise, is you got to go where the people are. And boy, people are on reality shows. Is that what brought you to make that decision to, yes, finally, you're going to do it this way?
Yeah, well, at first I was a little reluctant, but then I saw more of a audience to be able to reach just by spreading the gospel and just by counseling. And so, yeah, I'm thankful I did it. Definitely thankful I did it, yeah.
Do you ever have moments during the show where you think, I know, like, I'm a relationship expert and I'm looking at this and I know that this is not how you like concoct a lasting relationship. Do you ever right. just want to say, maybe spend a little longer, you know, maybe explore this avenue? Like you see a red flag pop up and you're like, whoa, they need to talk about that. And they just kind of glaze over it. Do you ever want to stop things and be like, whoa, back up?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I guess this show doesn't, of course, afford you the privilege of doing premarital counseling before the show. And so a lot of the stuff that I found out after the fact that, you know, I got on the show, but there's also good. It's also good to have counseling after you got married in case of the event. Like you just said, red flags come up. You say, hey, this is not good. You guys are going to gel together in this area. And so my intentions and my goal was to actually continue counseling with the couple that I was with outside of the show. But unfortunately, that was unable to happen. But yeah, I see red flags all the time. But you kind of got to let them, you know, guide them. They can receive it. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But you're still there for advice if they need it. Yeah.
It's got to be frustrating because they're just like, oh, what a pretty decoration. And you're like, no, that's a red flag.
Right, right.
Bad.
Right. Absolutely.
You, absolutely. You had life before the show. You will certainly have lots of life after the show. You're an author, sure, amongst other things. And one of the books you wrote is Breaking the Cycle of Lust. I'm typing things at the same time. There we go. Freedom from Sexual Sin. This made me think a little bit about when Terry Crews came out with his feelings about this. And he made a very big public deal about the fact that, you know, he wanted to change some of his choices in how he was spending his time and the like. I want to know your thoughts on this and or how it relates to what you're doing on the show, but just like getting into spaces like this and books like this to kind of help the world that's in front of us right now. Just how does putting your book out there and your word out there compare with having to help people connect with other places?
Well, I'll say this, that when I wrote that book, some of my history, probably in my early 20s, I'm 40 now, but in my early 20s, that's something I dealt with. And I realized that lust does not necessarily start with us. In fact, lust can be transgenerational. It can have started with somebody else in your family. And so one of the objectives and goals of the book was to kind of give you this idea of why you struggle with this. I use a great biblical example of David. You know, David had dealt with lust all through scripture with Bathsheba, very common passage of text. And then it actually got down into his sons. There were some issues in his family with his children that dealt with lust. And one of his sons raped one of his daughters, things of that nature. And so I think in our generation, even when we look at TV and television, everything is geared towards kissing and hugging and touching. In fact, you can watch a commercial about a television. They'll have two people on there kissing, licking each other just about a television. You kind of like, what is all this about? And so lust is something that definitely has to be under control, because what happens is if we allow our flesh to make decisions for us, it ultimately get us into situations that we want to get out of. It can take us literally 5 minutes to get into something lustfully, but 5 years to get out of it. And so lust is extremely imperative in terms of the show or couples. One thing I'm big on, and even with dealing with couples, is I want to make sure that you're not in love with the idea of marriage as opposed to what marriage really entails. And sometimes we can look at somebody's outer appearance through the lenses of I just want them, I want their body, but really not understanding what marriage is. Marriage is so much more than looks and touching and kissing and hugging. It's can you pay bills on time? Can we work together? What is our vision? And so lust is one of those things that I really think that all couples and even individuals kind of need to have under control and understand where it comes from, the root of lust, and how to move on from that.
Nobody understands that better than reality TV show people, from what I've seen.
Right. Absolutely. And lust is not just, you know, physically in terms of kissing and hugging, stuff like that. It can also be you can lust after a house, a car, materialistic stuff. Yeah.
That's something that they talk a lot about in sort of the challenges between some of the modern people preaching and some others, is that there's a lot of people who are preaching wealth and who are not preaching the hard work. I want to know what your thought is on that. And you know, how do you get into those kinds of sermons? Because guess what? They're not as fun, Pastor Dwight. You have somebody down the street saying, you want that Tesla? I'll show you how to get that Tesla. Jesus wants you to have a Tesla. I didn't find that part in my Bible. But like, how do you kind of square that with people?
Well, there has to be a balance. I think that there's nothing wrong with nice things, but nice things can't have you. That cannot be you having materialistic stuff. That cannot be the source of why you preach the gospel or why God has called you. When God first called me to the ministry, there was absolutely nothing in my mind about a big house and a nice car, because I was literally being enlisted into doing something that I did not want to do. But as I did it, I had begun to grow into my call, into what God called me to do. And so there's a strict balance with that. What we have seen modeled before us, I would say probably over the last decade, was a lot of this wealth, prosperity preaching. And there's nothing wrong with prosperity preaching as long as your preaching is not all prosperity. It cannot be all God wants you to have money. There are people that are hurting and broken. They don't necessarily want to hear about a car. They don't necessarily want to hear about three houses. There are some people that want to hear about, hey, how can I get through this breakup? How can I be delivered from this spirit of depression? And so there has to be a balance there. And I think what's happening now is that God is raising up a new remnant of leaders that are authentic, pure, that will actually preach the gospel and actually preach stuff that people don't necessarily want to hear, that may be tight, but it's right.
So we've had a little bit of a cat situation arise, I just noticed. So let's look at what we deal with that.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Feline invasion. I repeat, we have a feline invasion. Chris, hold very still. Do not turn your head. For the love of Pete, don't turn your head. Oh, the humanity.
You're going to have to like schloop.
Pastor Dwight, I feel like there's someone in your congregation who wants me to mail them a cat. But they would want that. They could have that prosperity of just one extra cat.
Right. Very helpful for them.
So I had a thought about the fact that, you know, coming onto TV changes things. You know, you wish it wouldn't, but you know, there's some good and there's some bad. Have you had it yet? Have you had that like wandering into Starbucks moment or something like that? Or?
Great question, Chris. I actually have had quite a few moments. I actually was at the gym the other day and I had this guy following me around. I literally went to two or three different machines. And then finally, the guys are staring at me. I'm like, what's going on? Is he following me? And he literally walks up to me. I have on my mask, mind you. And he walks up to me and says, hey, you're the guy that's on that show. I really like what you said. First of all, I'm trying to figure out how he recognized it was me with the mask on. And so I was shocked by that. But I've had moments like that have kind of been kind of surreal. Another moment I had not too long ago is I was at a restaurant and somebody called my name out. I didn't know who it was. Hey, you did a good job. it's kind of, you know, it's surreal, but it's happening. I've had some moments like that. Definitely. I've had people actually even get mad at me because they thought I should have did certain things on the show. I'm like, I don't even know.
So I'm waiting for people to be like, Pastor Dwight, we need a ruling because I say this and he says this and he's obviously wrong. So can you just tell him it's wrong and then you can have your dinner?
Right. Absolutely. You're absolutely.
feel like we need a verdict.
You've done all kinds of other preaching besides, you know, marriage counseling and all that sort of thing. I mean, at-risk youth is a big part of what you were doing. Is it going to be hard for you to sort of put your identity back in a different box if and when, you know, married says, okay, we're done with you for now, and, you know, maybe some future season or something? Or is it, you know, how are you considering your brand as a pastor?
Well, again? Another great question, Chris. I would say, I think really this has just really opened up the door for a lot of other opportunities. My main assignment, of course, is pastoring and discipling God's people, continue to be a senior pastor, author, preacher, all of those other things, along with the opportunities to counsel on television. I prayed recently. I said, Lord, I want to do everything you give me. I want to do in excellence. So I don't want to start to slack in one area because this area is taken off. I want to do everything evenly. And so I just think it's all working together. And I also believe that for so long, people have just seen the senior pastor as just a Sunday morning pastor, you know, Bible study, and that's who he is. But it's a different take when you see the senior pastor or somebody whose ministry you go to or listen to be able to minister to people in various contexts, such as television and other areas. In fact, since the show, there's been, God has opened up opportunities, but I'm it's just more opportunities to spread the gospel, if you will. And so I'm just thankful for it. Yeah.
What about being under lockdown for a year, like all those nasty relationship things that were sort of bubbling below the surface that you could ignore because you could just go out or go to the gym or take a trip or something to distract you from it? Now they're all just there with you in the room. So how do people need to approach kind of redefining their relationship now that they can't ignore those problems anymore?
Well, I think being locked down, you realize if we really love each other, you're having to deal with each other at a much different level. One of the things that I've heard that most couples have gone through is the fact that since they had been in lockdown, they realized that we didn't have as much money in reserves as we should. Normally, you're supposed to have 3 to 6 months, and there were couples who were running out of money. The husband couldn't work due to layoffs, or the wife couldn't work. And so now they're not only having to be with each other more often and commonly, but now the money's running out. And so that caused a lot of tension. And so I think one of the keys to that, and what I've had to do, is even minister to couples about having grace for one another. Hey, we didn't know this was coming. We didn't expect this, but let's have a little grace on each other to get through it. I know you're upset. I know you're uptight. I'm uptight. How can we navigate and work this thing together by where we can still live in harmony without fighting each other or taking things out of the kids?
There's a million other questions I want to ask you, but as our time kind of dwindles down, one of the other thoughts I was kind of having roll through my head is that in this last year, I feel like we're going to have either a massive wave of new babies or maybe some new separations and divorces. What's the simplest way to kind of help people take those few pauses they're going to need to take to make any of these decisions now that we're getting closer to a normal world again?
Your dad's in love with the TV pastor, Chris.
I feel like your eyes.
Well, I would say like this. They said when we first went into COVID that there would be a lot of COVID babies, babies born through COVID because they're spending so much time together. But interestingly enough, there hasn't been a lot of COVID babies because couples have gotten tired of each other.
Right. And so
they're like, hey, I don't, they want to get away from each other. And so I would say just to embrace the new norm. I think when we went into this lockdown, there were some things that we liked about each other. Then we found out there were some things we disliked about each other. So I guess as we break away back into normal eventually, I would say to just continue to love on each other, to remember the intimate times you did spend. One of the blessings for me is when me and my wife were in lockdown, is we begin to work on our own, our vision, our goals, things we wanted to accomplish. I was thankful because I wasn't spending as much time out. I was spending time in, and I got a chance to really get more, to spend a lot more time. I always spend a lot of time with kids, but I got time to spend even more time with my kid, you know, virtual school. You got to be the teacher, the counselor, you're doing everything. And so it's just been a blessing to me. It's just brought us nothing but closer together. And so I knew it wouldn't last forever. Even if it went on for another year, we'll eventually return back to where things used to be. But I would just say that to embrace and to just thank God for the time you're able to spend with your family when you had time to. Yeah.
Beautiful stuff. Pastor Dwight Buckner, Dwight Buckner Jr. Don't want to mess up the senior part. Thank you. Stick around. We're going to put you backstage. We'll ask you some more questions afterwards. But stick right around. Boop. All right. I only have two ads right now because I need some new sponsors. Bitches, find me some sponsors.
Will you stop it? Pastor Dwight's going to be horrified at your mouth.
He's not at all. I'll formerly Catholic. I'll say some things. All right. StreamYard. This show is made on StreamYard. cbrogan.me/StreamYard. You can make your own show. William was waiting for that link earlier, and I'm sorry I didn't understand what you meant at first, William. Weirdly, where's the link on this show? Could be anything.
It's so true. Yeah.
Lots of links. Oh, I have three ads. I forgot. Castos hosts our podcasting. It is so easy. Castos.com. Our friend Matt Medeiros in this part of the world, nice New England boy, brought us over to this platform. brought us over to this part of the world. Castos.com is a great podcast hosting platform. If you want a .online domain, you can get one. .online domains are $1 for a whole year. Just go to cbrogan.me/online and pick yours out. Carrie, there's some pretty good ones available still, but I heard one was not available.
Your mom is .online is not available because I looked.
That's terrible. I'm just saying. You can't get your mom is .online. I'm very let down.
I know. I really, really wanted to. How does one become a sponsor? You email Chris.
Oh, you email me, baby. Chris@chrisbrogan.com. I've got a deal for you, especially you, Michael Doherty. Kristen Vermeulen has a podcast called Makers of Maine, but also a PR company called Nautical. She's a publicist. She's done the things. And I went to go and listen to the podcast because, you know, you probably should do that if you have a guest coming on. You should probably pay attention. Three episodes later, I realized I was just casually listening for my own entertainment, which was not review. So that's my endorsement, I guess.
And you're super grumpy. So
I don't like people's podcasts. I've been podcasting since 2006. So it means something doubly much.
You don't even
more,
listen
so.
Back to your own.
I don't know. I don't even know what my voice sounds like. All right. I'm going to get Kristen Vermeulen on here. We'll ask her some questions about all that. Hey, Kristen.
Hey, guys. How are you?
It's like a Wes Anderson. It's like right down the middle. I'm well. I'm commenting on the like colors and look and feel of your
setup.
Do you feel like you're in Maine?
Well, I do. I'm about like, I don't know, 50 minutes from the edge of it. So I could be there in a bit. But so you run a podcast called Makers of Maine, where in which you get to talk to people about the crafts and the business and the Maine lifestyle in general. I wanted to hear a little bit about what made you pick this besides the OG whiz, I'm coming back to Maine, because that's easy enough. Like, what made you think this is the topic I want to cover and I will have a really good time, you know, capturing a lot of questions about kelp farming and the like?
So I started this podcast back in June of last year. So it was like right in the peak of the pandemic. And so I lost a lot of business when I was a publicist. And I support mainly small businesses in Maine. And first thing that goes when it comes to dropping budget is marketing. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom. I just had my second kid. So I have to really just focus on that. But I'm not that type of person. I'm the type that really needs to get hands-on, be innovative, and come up with new projects. So I decided to start this podcast about the great makers and small businesses in our lovely state. According to the Small Business Administration, it's over 98% are small businesses that encompass our business economy here in Maine, which is crazy. And I was like, you know what? We need to talk about these guys. And why not talk about it through long form content, a podcast? I didn't really know how to start a podcast. So I kind of just dug in, did some research, had my husband help me along the way. He's my audio tech. So it's definitely a team effort, but it's been great. And I'm super passionate about it. I find that craft and makers is a very broad term. So I include not just like your typical product makers, I include musicians, I include photographers, videographers. So it's like really just a breadth of other things you can see here in the great state of Maine, other than lighthouses and lobster and just other things that are great about Maine.
Are you going to keep it up now that we can all go outside again, maybe when people get vaccinated and stuff? I've seen so many like pop-up shows, and then they, you know, as soon as the people get vaccinated, they're like, okay, bye. And so it's gone.
Yeah, I know. That's a great question. Yes, I will continue it. You know, I have actually partnered with a lot of markets up here and interviewing makers that attend those markets. So yesterday I was just at the Thompson's Point Makers Market, which is right in Portland. And I got to interview two lovely female makers. One's a potter and one makes dough that you can go. It's like a stress ball, but it smells good. It's aromatherapy, good for your skin. I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like there's so many different types of makers here. But I'm hoping to expand even outside of Maine. So my ultimate goal is to start a Makers of USA podcast and really geared towards makers all over our America and really be a part of the makers movement, because that's been a passion of mine ever since I was little. I grew up in Maryland. So I grew up in a town called Ellicott City, Maryland. So there's a lot of small businesses right along that main street. And I worked in an antique shop as well as some other small businesses, and I just grew very fond of it. So I'm really excited to kind of keep it growing and kind of test podcasts in big cities that have a good, you know, makers presence, and then kind of build it up from there to Makers of USA.
So Maine embraced you, because on Cape Cod, it doesn't matter if you weren't born there, you're a wash ashore. So I don't know what the equivalent is in Maine.
It's called from away.
When you're okay, in Maine, from away. Yes. And I am from away, but my husband is a Mainer, so I'm glad that he brought me to his home state.
Well, there's only so long he could have let you be living in the wrong state. We get that. So you're a PR agency and a publicist, and those don't always connect. I mean, some people do PR and aren't just as knotted down into publicity specifically, but it's you've certainly gotten a lot of good ink for your own self and your clients. You've put some work in it. What's changed in doing that kind of work in the pandemic? And I guess I'm asking that question to say, does something like going right down to small craft business, does that sort of narrative help you more because the pandemic's changed what people want to pay attention to?
So I would say the Maine Made brand is very impactful. I think that's what carries a lot of the story and the weight to press. Maine is a very hot spot right now, and I think it's going to continue to grow. And I've, you know, not only just help small businesses and products, but I also help with tourist industry and attractions. So I help out with hotels and bed and breakfasts in the area with their publicity needs. So it's definitely, Maine is just a great name to get out there. But, you know, I've helped other small businesses outside of Maine as well in terms of publicity. And I find that that's been really interesting too. And just seeing sort of how the makers movement is very important. And it's important all over America. Like I have people reaching out to me from like Nashville, Tennessee, and, you know, New Jersey and all these other, you know, places. And it's just remarkable to see that people are growing more passionate about made in America and not having to buy things made in China. So I would say it's definitely the makers movement. And then of course, being here in Maine, Maine's definitely the big hot topic and hot location to be.
What's the difference between an entrepreneur and a maker?
Good question. I think they're sort of both hand in hand, like they come together very well. But I think like a maker, it's a lot of people think of it as making, like crafting something. It's a product. But my definition of it is you could be a maker and you could be making a podcast. You could be making, you know, making your voice, telling a story that's of value and that is, you know, a passion point of yours. So I find that my definition is much broader, but I know a lot of people, especially here in Maine, you will see that a maker is one who makes product and craft. So mine's very different.
I think that's an important description and definition to have, though, because, for instance, you go to a place like Old Port, which is basically, you know, for the tourists. And yet, being a Mainer my whole life, I still love going to Old Port. Right. You know, you can go there and there's a whole bunch of crap that's like made anywhere. Like a lot of it's shipped over on a big drum boat from China. So it's kind of dorky.
Oh, yeah.
That counts as Maine stuff. So, I mean, I'm happy about you for that. This, your Instagram is sure focused. You certainly do the IG well. Some people
thank you. Yeah, thanks to the photographers that I partner with, because they have done a remarkable job in capturing the craft.
Carl says he really likes that topographical map kind of look and feel for your logo.
It'll cover her.
Thank you, Carl. Like,
all right, well, hang on a second. You can do that. But look, come on. Oysters. Who doesn't want oysters? All right, there.
You can put when we're in that layout, if I show a comment that covers you and you're like, Mike Wazowski.
By the way, Michael and Carl both knew a lot about Ellicott City, evidently. Michael grew up in Catonsville.
So oh, Catonsville. Yeah, I know Catonsville very well. My grandmother lives there.
Pretty small planet. Small planet. What's an ideal, I mean, the kelp episode, by the way, so this is such a me second, so I'll try to be as fast as I can. Common Ground Fair up in Maine. It's all about sustainability and stuff. You've probably been.
Yeah.
I first had kelp at age 12. There's all these different kinds of food samples you can have at different places. And they had this great, you know, kelp experience. And I ate the crap out of the free samples. Like, I was one of those kids that you wish someone's parents would come and got rid of. I just ate the hell out of them. See you, Elizabeth. But I think that that episode was great. What do you look for in putting together an episode? What does it have to have as far as elements go?
So I would say, as a publicist, I'm all about pitching and pitching the right way. So if there's a business, an entrepreneur knows how to pitch themselves and knows their stories and they're really their brand cornerstones, I would say, yeah, I'm all about having them on the podcast because it makes my job a lot easier. Now, when it comes to a maker or an entrepreneur who doesn't really know their story, it's hard to pull that from them. And it makes it harder as a podcast host, which I'm sure you can relate to, Chris, because, you know, you've been in the podcasting world for a while. So hopefully I'm doing a good job and, you know, pulling some answers out of me. But I would say that has been one of the key points that I see. But then also at the same time, I try to keep my guests as diverse as possible. So including female makers, African-American makers, those of the Wabanaki tribe, like I really tried to really bring their stories about, because not a lot of people know about those stories because they're kind of like hidden gems of Maine. So I really want to bring that more to the forefront. So I would say just keeping it as diverse as possible and then just pitching very well.
That had actually come to light as well when I was, you know, looking through your episodes. I was, you know, quite thrilled and impressed to see the variety of people you had on the show, your basket weaver, I don't remember his name anymore.
Kazim.
Kazim. What's his last name though? It must have been that was what was stuck in my head.
Lawal.
Because it made me think of Lawal Mann, who's a friend of the show, and
video game executive.
Video game guy. Yeah. Oops. I'll just show you my private messages, I guess. I hit the wrong button. But no, I mean, I think it's great. We're going to do one thing, which is bring back our pal, Pastor Dwight Buckner, and we will have some conversations. Stop it. Carrie's making fun of me because I don't know how to push the right buttons.
I said you need adult supervision.
Phone calls at the same time, too. Pastor Dwight, I did not do this research, so I don't know. Do you have a little podcast out there for the Buckner story?
On TikTok.
Oh, he is on TikTok, I know, but that's different. That's his dance moves.
Oh, well, actually on TikTok, I'm not doing any dancing. just you know, straight word. I don't have a podcast, but I do have one coming in June.
Oh.
And so, July we'll be launching the podcast. And I got more information about that coming, so it's going to be pretty exciting.
But you preach, and I know the church has things on YouTube of you preaching, and it must get like exhausting at a certain point. You must be like, can I just not talk for like a half hour?
Well, no, I just love it. I know that I was born to do it. Talk, preach, whatever it is. I mean, I want to get everything out, you know, that God put in me. And so I don't, I think life is too short. And so I'm just kind of like, God, wherever you send me, let me. Of course, you'll get naturally tired, but after some rest, get back up, do it again. Yeah.
Kristen, I'm sure that Pastor Dwight has a whole lot of good advisors on his side, but you know, you're both a PR publicity person and a recent podcaster. What kind of advice would you give blindly out of the gate for Pastor Dwight Buckner Jr.?
Oh man. I would say something that is very relatable to me is sort of like the focus component, like focus on what your care abouts are and who you are as a brand and individual, because I find that sometimes I go outside of my realm of things and it's kind of not a part of my brand. I'm like, what am I doing? So I always just tell people to focus on what your care abouts are and to express it out there through your marketing channels, because it sounds like you're growing your marketing channels extensively. Congratulations to you. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I received that advice as well.
I've never heard that phrase care abouts. I just Googled it because I was like, is that a thing? It's a thing. I had no idea.
I received your advice, because that is neither a commitment to act upon it or a statement of agreement, nor is it a disagreement. It is just like appreciation for somebody having taken the time to give it. So
Terry O'Shea is both a 10-year podcaster and a lawyer.
Putting that in my Rolodex for later. Maybe for later when Chris gives me some helpful advice. Receive that advice. Thank you.
That was a pretty slick response.
I love it. So good. So what about Pastor Dwight, when your church does a lot of work with at-risk youth, are they ever do they view you differently now that you're doing this reality TV thing? Or does it make you more relatable, or is it kind of like a negative? Like, what's the
No, definitely more relatable. I actually have people that show up to our services on Sunday just because they've seen me on the television show. And so I'm really thankful that the youth, those are really supportive of it. For those of you who don't know, I'm also a entrepreneur, and just I've said that to tell you this is I've had a barbershop for about 11 years, and I go into work, I only work 3 days a week there. And literally every time I go in to just do my clients, it's just swamped with people that says, hey, I came by because I know this is your shop. I saw you on TV. So now that is kind of surreal. And a lot of the youth that I connect with, I meet through my business. And so then I kind of connect them to the church. And so that's where a lot of those at-risk youth come into play, where I'm meeting and counseling them there.
I love it. So, your haircuts are like content marketing for God. That's amazing.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate that. What a nice compliment.
So, you know, there's days, I think one of these days I'll be a real interviewer and I'll actually like do research and those sorts of things that people should do that I never do. But now that you say that, I am curious, you know, is it just the chair, or is this like a full on like two or three fellas cutting 25 guys, you know, having conversations kind of a barbershop? What are we saying here?
This is mainly one-on-one with the youth. And I normally do it when they're in my chair. Actually, I just sit there and I'll counsel them. I'll actually, when I'm cutting their hair, I'll actually place my hand, when my hand is on their head, I'll actually be saying a prayer for them.
Give it a blessing.
And yeah, and a lot of them, some of them who I come into contact with, some of them don't know I'm a pastor, and I won't tell them unless they ask me. And then I'll spark up conversation about God, because I don't necessarily want to, give them, you know, I don't necessarily want to give off as somebody who's super religious. I want to be relatable before I kind of start talking to him about God. So that's how I build my relationships with, what are you pulling up here?
That's how you build your guns. Look at that. I
tell you what, you give me some advice, I'm not going to fight you on it. Look at that.
Oh, look at that, my man. God.
Get a gun in there. Jeez Louise, Luke Cage. We see that. I received your visuals.
Now, jealousy is very unbecoming.
I know. I heard that jealousy is, you know, another kind of lust.
Get to the gym. Nothing's stopping you except COVID and the fear of death.
Right.
Kristen, that's a good question. You know, the way that one goes out to find, you know, you do a lot of events. You go, you know, or that's how you normally go and find makers, and you go to craft places, you go to markets and that sort of a thing. What have you done this last year to do it? And what are you going to do, you know, between now and the time that they really, really open the doors again?
Oh, man. So when events weren't happening, you know, in the midst of the pandemic, I was really doing a lot of online research, and I have connected with a lot of nonprofits that support makers in the local area, and just trying to best understand their members and really seeing what stories were lingering out there. And so now that the markets are opening up, it's definitely going to be a lot easier in terms of just getting more interest and getting more stories. The problem is that I'm going to have so many stories like lined up. I don't know how many podcasts I'm going to be able to come out with this year, because there's going to be so much interest and just so much to tell. So I'm trying to think of other ways of telling it, not just through the podcast, but through other marketing channels that are a part of my media outlet.
You can batch your podcast episodes into seasons. Like, I have a podcast just about hobbies. Yeah. And so we release them like 12 episodes at a time. We'll just set aside a couple weeks, do them all, release the whole thing.
Yeah, I thought about it. I think I may do that for sure, because I think it'll better organize myself.
Support your local makers, says Bob Collins.
Yes, Robert.
And Michael says, how much pastor mentor work do you do while someone's in the chair for a haircut? I think, but you talked about that a little bit. Like, sometimes it sounds like less if they don't realize.
Yeah, actually, to be honest with you, most of our members, a lot of our members have actually come through my business. I have a lot of core members that came through by me meeting them at my business, and they've been there for years. It works hand in hand.
So if you can get the line just right, then they might go and listen to some God.
Right. Absolutely. And if I don't get the line right, they don't want to come.
You're out. You're out. So we are going to have to wrap up, but I saw this one quote I like too. This month of October, God's removing your old apps, and he's updating what he promised you. I really like that. I like how you're bringing the, you know, kind of modern world into that world. So, and I saw examples, you know, the sort of synergy I see is that even in Kristen's world, she's having to show a lot of people who are doing some old tricks, some new ones to get their faces out there to new places. We have two whole things left to do in our show, and then I'm kicking you out. So one of them is we have to put a person of the day.
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
I'm going to give it to Michael Doherty. I haven't seen Michael around for a little while, but he comes to events up that way sometimes. Who knows? So that was good, Michael. You are person of the day. That entitles you to a free apple. All you got to do is go buy it. Make sure you wash it first, says Carrie.
Yeah. Eat it. Wash it really good. It's
completely free after you buy it.
Look at that. Everyone's in love with Pastor Dwight. Poor Kristen.
What can we do?
I'm flattered. Thank you.
I mean, all the men folk.
All right. So here's a question, which is what goes into your backpack? And this question is one we've asked every single guest that we've ever had on the show, which is, it could be something physical, it could be something metaphorical. Carrie, what's something that's really good physical thing you can stick in a backpack?
The Bible. You know, I have to say that. I can't remember who it was that gave the answer, but somebody did.
Somebody did give the Bible. Yeah. It was one out of 180 or so answers, but that was a good one. A lot of people had to sort of assume the Bible, and then here's the other thing.
Some of our most memorable answers, like, we get it only one time, like extra set of teeth. That was just one time, and we talk about it a lot.
Or a book we hate. What is a metaphorical thing that should go in there, Carrie?
Fearlessness, vulnerability, pride.
Both good ones.
Like pride in where you come from, not the bad kind of pride.
Like Ellicott City. Kristen Vermeulen, what are you going to add to our backpack, either physical or metaphorical?
Oh, man. Can I say something to not put in your backpack?
Sure. Like, yeah, we can take something out, maybe.
Mm-hmm. All right. No cell phone. And the reason why I say that is because I really enjoyed the unplugged nature and just getting your hand on something like a craft or something that is going to bring you life, like outside of the tech world, whether it's going outside and going out for a canoe or knitting or learning. Like, oh, thank you. Thank you for that, Bob. I saw your comment. So I think it's just really getting your hands on something rather than being in front of texting your friends or on Facebook all the time.
I like it. No cell phone.
You're so better than I am, Kristen. I would have been like, don't patronize me, Bob. Okay, I see how it is.
Lordy. Pastor Dwight Buckner Jr., save us. What else was in your backpack? Something physical or metaphorical?
I'll say metaphorical. I would say encouragement and hope. Those two things would consistently be in my backpack. I believe that if you can encourage somebody to get through any type of hard challenges of their life, pain, struggle, whatever they've been through, then literally you're pushing them into their destiny. And encouragement is definitely the twin, I believe, of hope. Because when you encourage somebody, you give them hope. You give them their dreams back. You give them vision. And so I would just say encouragement and hope. Everybody needs an uplifting, and they need uplifting consistently.
I can see that. Yeah. Well, my several hundred of my relatives still live up in Maine. I was born and raised in Maine. And one thing that we do is we'd get down to the coast to get lobster. The place we'd go is called Young's Lobster Pound. That's off down by Route 9 somewhere. You know, it's the good place to go because it's very inexpensive, because it's where the town folk would go, not like where the city folk would go.
Bob's laughing at me, by the way, Pastor Dwight, not you.
There's a there's a bring your own beverages rule, though, that my Grammy used to sneak and thwart in with some cans.